We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, a ministry of Merit Assembly of God and our friends and partners here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. And if I could just give a shout out to you, if you have been listening and this program has been a blessing to you, it is our privilege to be able to bring it into your car or your workplace, wherever you might be. Some of you may get to listen to it at home, and that's great. But if you would join us in praying, we need quite a financial blessing to between now and the end of the year to close out on a even note. And so we start because of the way that some of our bills are structured. They come due at the very first part of the year. And so we spend the entire year trying to swim upstream. So I feel like a salmon trying to swim upstream at times. And but God has been faithful. This last year, we were believing God for our largest budget that we had ever believed for, and we are going to get very, very close. But if the Lord lays us upon your heart this holiday season, and you would like to make a donation to Merit Assembly of God, we would be greatly appreciative. We'll give you a Merry Christmas out here on the air if you'd like, or if not, we'll just say Merry Christmas. But if you are making a donation, if you make it out to Merit Assembly of God, our address is 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. Any donation would be tax deductible. So we would want to make sure that you got your tax receipt and all of that. I do want to invite you out to this coming Sunday is our Christmas message that we will be sharing. And then Sunday night will be our Christmas banquet, and we would love to invite you to that. We do have some limited seating capabilities. It's just hard to stretch a building. So we would love to invite you and have you come and be a part of that. We generally have seats available, so I don't want to give the impression that we're not going to be able to fit. We can probably fit 100 people or so into our facility for a banquet. We do have more capacity than that as far as fire code and stuff like that, but when you throw in tables and the like, we start to run out. But we'd love to invite you. Come be a part of that. We do consider you part of our congregation, and we're thankful that you listen. And by the way, thanks to everybody who brings who's called in and left encouraging messages. It's been greatly appreciated, and hopefully we'll be able to meet you one day soon. So we've been talking about the kingdom of God, and yesterday I was talking about it's a glorious kingdom, and that God wants to make that entrance. He wants the doors open, the gates flung open wide, so that the King of Glory may come in. And I want to spend the next 3 days here talking about three different aspects about the kingdom of God, and some of we'll start off with the one that is the most negative, and we will work towards the most positive. How about that? And then also, I want to remind you today is our vintage service Wednesday, December the 17th. Wednesday is our vintage service, 11 a.m. And then next Wednesday will be our Christmas Eve service. And then the following week, we do not have a Wednesday services at all. So if you are making plans on visiting one of our midweek services, Christmas Eve, 6 p.m., today, 11 a.m., and the following Wednesday, which would be December the 31st, we are shut down that day. So now you have the schedule in front of you. The heartbreaking thing about the kingdom that I want to share with you today is found in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 47. And I've got a whole packet of verses here on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew chapter 13 is quite descriptive. It talks about the sons of the kingdom. And, you know, now that I'm looking at this, there was a verse here a few broadcasts ago, and I was talking about a missionary that we had had. And now as I'm looking in Matthew chapter 13, this is the verse that I was looking for. It says, "He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one.'" And so a few weeks ago, I was talking about that word that missionary had shared, and that you and I are, when we are children of the kingdom, when we are under the authority of the king, that God wants to sow us as seed. He wants to divinely place us in the proper environment with the proper nutrition, the proper hydration, the proper sunlight. He wants to place us there because he's the Lord of the harvest, and he wants to bring about a glorious harvest that will result in kingdom growth. So we're going to talk about some of those aspects again. But in verse number 47, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven," this Matthew 13, "again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." And so what I wanted to share with you is today is that unfortunately, not everyone is going to heaven. And I know that that's not a popular thing to say. I know, you know, that people want to label you a fire and brimstone preacher when you start talking about this. But I want you to know that Jesus describes that there are two types of eternity. There is one where you are going to spend eternity with him, and the other option is that there are going to be those who spend eternity without him. Those with him are going to be in heaven. Those without him are going to be in hell and the lake of fire, because hell itself gets cast into the lake of fire. The truth of the matter is that Jesus does not want any to perish. That means he does not want any to spend eternity in hell or the lake of fire, because it was not created for man. That was an abode that was created for Satan and his angels who had rebelled against God. And so one of the reasons that people will be so miserable in hell is because they are living in an environment they were never created to be in. God never intended for them to dwell there. He intended for them to walk in fellowship with him. The same way, if you took a fish out of the ocean, now I know that there's a fish that can live out. I know that there's a representative that can do this. But all in all, at large, if you take a fish from the water where he was created to live, and you bring him on land and you do not put him in water, you just allow him to dwell in the same environment that we were created to live in, that fish will die. it's not going to survive. First of all, it's not going to be able to process the oxygen levels it needs. It's not going to find the food source. It's not going to be able to mobilize itself sufficiently. It's going to be vulnerable to attacks from the birds of the air. It's just not created to live in this environment. The same way, if you took me and you threw me into the ocean, my lifespan is going to be very short. I was not designed to live underwater. And some people say, well, what about, you know, the bubbles and the structures with the oxygen? Even at that point in time, you may be living underneath the surface of the water, but you are not living in the environment of the water. And you are living in a bubble inside that of environment. And let me tell you, that would be a great picture of what I would call grace. There are people today who have unfortunately not yet chosen Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Right now, they are living in an environment that if it wasn't for the grace of God, they would perish in an eternity apart from Him, and they would die in their sins. But God, in His mercy, has granted them grace to live because He is so patient with people, wanting them to come to salvation. Now, I'm thankful for the grace of God. And so I want to share with you, it's not God's choice for you to go to heaven or to hell. Well, it is God's choice for you to go to heaven. It is not His choice for you to go to hell, but He gave you the ability to make that decision. Will you accept the King or will you reject the King? And unfortunately, there are going to be people who rebel against the authority of the King, and there is no other option but banishment from the kingdom. If they choose not to live under the King and His provision and His blessing, then they live in a different kingdom. Instead of a kingdom of light, they live in a kingdom of darkness. In Luke chapter 13, and a lot of passages of scripture here, Matthew 13 was the first one, verses 47 through 50. And now we're looking at Luke chapter 13 and verse number 23. Then one said to Him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And He said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us, and He will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But He will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and set down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. What this passage says in Luke chapter 13 is that there are going to be some, they're going to see the kingdom manifested, but at that point in time, their heart, their attitude towards the King is going to be manifest. And even though they see the kingdom come in its glory, they are going to be expelled from the kingdom. And so if I can just say this, there are going to be people who in life make great decisions. There are going to be people who make good decisions. There are going to be people who make lousy decisions. First of all, I'll share this with you. Through the years, I have come up with my definition of a good solution and a great solution. A good solution is when you are working on a problem, and as you draw near to the end of the problem, you say, you know what, if we do this, I think it'll be successful, and it works. A great solution is that exact same scenario, only instead of at the very end of the process, you come up with the solution to the problem at the very beginning of the process, and you save yourselves a lot of frustration. That's a great solution. A lousy idea is not having any ability to solve the problem whatsoever. You are going to be surrounded by people who've made great decisions in their life. And that is, they chose Jesus. They chose to live like Jesus would live. They chose to live where Jesus would have them to live and for the purpose. And they did that very early in life. There are going to be people who have made good decisions in life. And that is, they were trapped in sin for a season. And that season went on for quite some time. And then they finally came to that place and they accepted Jesus. And that is phenomenal. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't like living in misery and pain and suffering any longer than I have to. So I would call that a good decision. And then there are going to be people who make lousy decisions. And that is, they're not interested in solutions. They're only interested in doing life the way that they want it on their terms, and nobody's going to tell them how to do anything. And all of us are going to have people like that in our lives to some extent or another. Let me tell you, don't let somebody who makes a bad decision influence you to make a bad decision that causes you to be exiled and banished from the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 23, there's another interesting characteristic about the kingdom, and that is this. In Matthew chapter 23, and it says in verse number 13, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven." Remember, we're talking about the king. We're talking about his kingdom. In the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come." Okay? "But for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." There are some people who want to live outside of the kingdom, and they will actually try and hinder access. They will try to put stumbling blocks and obstacles in people's way to prevent them from getting into the kingdom. And I don't want to be one of those people. You know, let me tell you something. We had a parent one time and said this, you know, that it was not a parent from our church. "Well, you know, I'm just going to let my children make up their own mind. I'm not going to give them any information. I'm just going to let them make up their own mind about what they're going to do. And if they want information on this, then they," and it, you know, "I'm not called to be my child's friend." Now, I'm thankful I've got a great relationship with all three of my kids and my daughter-in-law, but I'm not called to be their friend. I was called to be their parent. I was called to train them in the way that they should go. There were times when I did things and they did not like it at all. There were times when I did things that they did not like that later on they came back and they said, "Thank you so much for that. You don't know all of the things that you spared me from." And so, you know, my daughter and I, we were over celebrating one day, and I had asked her a question, and I said, "You know, do you regret, you know, some of the rules that we had in place, you know, when you were in high school?" And she said, "Heavens no. But when I see all that my friends went through and all, I don't regret one bit of that." And so I don't want to be the person that puts a stumbling block around a child's neck. I don't want to be guilty of causing them offense. I don't want to be a person who refuses to come into the presence of God, because what happens is then I become a hindrance to people gaining access to the door. Several years ago, we made a small renovation in our entryway to our church, because the people of our congregation, they love each other. They like each other. They like spending time with one another. And after the service, everybody funnels out towards the exit doors. But because people like each other, they would just stop and talk. And we had a pretty narrow hall, and they would end up stopping and talking right in the doorway. And then people couldn't come in and they couldn't go out. They just basically had to kind of find some other way to get out the door. And so we created a wider area there so that people could have room to get in and out as they see fit. And so I just want to encourage you today. If there have been people, there may have been a, you know, and I'm not afraid to address this. There have been pastors who served as bad examples. They because of the way they lived their life ended up being a hindrance to some people coming into the kingdom of God. As a pastor, I apologize for that being the case. I don't have any control over what they did. I don't have any jurisdiction in their life, but let me send that apology out with this invitation. Please do not allow that bad experience, whether it was a pastor or a board member or a Sunday school teacher or just some lady or some man in the church. Listen, we've all encountered them. Please do not allow them to prevent you from coming into the kingdom. Don't stay outside of the kingdom because of what somebody else said or did. Here's some great news. Along those lines, in Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse number 28, Jesus said, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the Father?" They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." And so I want you to know, if you are out there and the devil is trying to convince you that your life is so jacked up, so messed up, that God possibly could not want you, let me tell you about two of the most despised segments of society in that day. One was tax collectors. Listen, it has gone on for generations. People are absorbed with the idol of money. And I have a different approach at our church, and that is I pray that God blesses everybody who comes into the highest tax bracket. I do. Now listen, that's not going to happen if you're not faithful in the little. If you will be faithful in little, God will make you faithful over much. If you are not faithful in little, you might as well get used to even less, because you're going to find even that which you've got going away. God is looking for faithful people. But there were people, when it came to tax collectors, they were scorned by society. And Jesus said, even those who are scorned socially by society, I am going to welcome into the kingdom of God because they responded to my word. The other group were people who were scorned because of their immorality or their lack of morals. And those people were looked on with disdain in that society. They kind of functioned in the shadows. When John preached, they responded. And let me just, if you're a person that the devil is beating up because of some moral failures in your life, if I can just tell you something a little encouraging. Did you know that the genealogy of Jesus, a list of his ancestors, there are multiple people that are referenced there who had less than stellar morals sexually, and God redeemed them, restored them to purpose, and they actually gave birth, if you will, several generations. He identifies himself with people who have failed morally. He came to redeem them. If either one of those are you, if you've been scorned socially, maybe it's because of race, because of moral failure, whatever it might be, I want you to know today that the kingdom of heaven is going to be well represented by both of those parties. Don't allow somebody else's mistreatment to deprive you of spending eternity. Don't stay outside of the kingdom because of those things. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We were all rebels at some point, and as such had no hope for inheriting the kingdom of God except for the reality of King Jesus and what he did on my behalf. So I just want to thank God. I want to thank God that he is able to redeem us. The scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 11, the Bible describes that such were some of you. When it lists a bunch of shortcomings, a bunch of sins, and it says such were some of you. I want to thank God. Today he's not looking for people with a perfect past. He is looking for people with a redeemed present and a future with him. Luke chapter 19. We're going to try and close with this today. Luke chapter 19. We're talking about the nature of the kingdom. We want God's kingdom to come. Don't fall for somebody else's inferior definition of a kingdom. Be a participant, be a partaker of God's perfect kingdom, his kingdom of might, his kingdom of holiness. And in verse number 12, it says, Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to them, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Because of time, let's drop down to verse number 27. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. And here's the unfortunate thing about the kingdom, and that is the future of the unrepentant is an eternity apart from Jesus. You have been given the right and the will, the choice, to choose to reject Jesus as king. But it will be an eternity without him. And Jesus doesn't want that. Father, today, I pray that if there's anybody listening, and Lord, they've rejected you heretofore, Lord, maybe they've failed socially or morally or been rejected, but today, God, may you, the King of Glory, come into their life in a glorious manner. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.